in his translation. In fixing his mind on the eternal form of the Lord, the yogi should not take a collective view of all his limbs, but should fix the mind on each individual limb of the Lord. Okay. So we series of glorification of the process and the goal and all these kind of things, but very much the whole chapter is a very wonderful description and motivation, you know, for direct individual particular meditation. Okay, purport. The word Muni is very significant. The Muni means one who is very expert in mental speculation or in thinking, feeling, and willing. He is not mentioned here as a devotee or yogi. Those who try to meditate on the form of the Lord are called Munis, or less intelligent, whereas those who render actual service to the Lord are called Bhakti Yogis. And if you can see it, we got a picture here. When I was thinking of service, and kind of thought of Jayananda. I looked up for construct Ratha Yatra cart, and several nice pictures here. You know, this is very, very practical, very, very, what's the word, mundane in some ways. You have to deal with wood, which comes from the earth. You got to use gross tools and focus upon, you know, gross things and, you know, like that. But here it's, it says that these people are more advanced than the Munis. The Munis. Yeah. Prabhupada's defining Muni as expert in mental speculation, which means thinking, feeling, and willing. Yeah. And it's interesting, of course, we usually think of feeling. Feeling is like some emotional thing. Yeah. But here it's acceptance and rejection. Yeah. They're thinking. And how do you feel about this? I accept it, I want it, or I don't want it. That's interesting because Prabhupada said of all the Western philosophers, Carl Jung had the most sense. And he also used this term in the same way, feeling. And he also had to explain it, that he wasn't talking about sentiment, he was talking about this gross sentiment of just accepting or rejecting it. You think about something, I think about the first birthday cake, feeling, I want it, okay, I will find a knife. So they're expert in this department, but it says they're not even Paramatma bodies. They're not even, you know, meditation is not what you think. I saw that sticker at the bumper sticker at the Theosophical Society in Chicago. No, I guess it was in Houston. Houston. Yeah, meditation is not what you think. So, yeah. So the Munis are involved with the thinking, but the meditation, the yogis come back behind that and pretty much let the senses go by themselves, let the mind go by itself, and then try and control them more at the root. Yeah. Okay. But first I was talking about the Munis, the guy in the middle speculated. The thought process described below in the text like that. After this, Lord Kapila will start to go through and give very, 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 very specific meditations. Very specific meditations. And these can be performed. You can sit there and contemplate the feet of the Lord, the thighs of the Lord, you know, and contemplate them from the perspective that he offers in his prayers here. The thought process described below is for the education of the Muni, in order to convince the yogi that the absolute truth or supreme personality of Godhead is never impersonal. At any time, the following verses prescribe observing the Lord in his personal form, limb after limb. This is who it's for. In some ways, these verses are not for us. Yeah. We may find them interesting, but then we find it more interesting to engage in our particular service. Yeah. which Prabhupada was talking before about how hearing is just the same as meditating on the form, you know, within the mind, and worshiping the deity by taking his clothes off and then, you know, offering a nice bath and bathing and scrubbing him nicely, not too hard, drying him with a nice warm towel, you know, is just the same as meditating in the heart. The problem is the difference is more practical, more practical. So we may be, a little more advanced than this, but it seems like we can learn something here. We can learn something about filling in maybe some of the meditational aspect of our service, whereas we're just sometimes maybe disengaging our service without any kind of attention. Just doing it, okay? We should also get the mind involved. To think of the Lord as a whole may sometimes be impersonal. Therefore, it is recommended here that one first think of his lotus feet. Lotus feet, okay? Then his ankles, then the thighs, then the waist, then the chest, then the neck, yeah, then the face, and so on. So when I was doing this, did you start, you know, doing it? Did you start picking out your Ishtadevata? Who are you going to meditate on at the time of death? So as we were doing this, did your mind just start trying to find some Ishtadevata? One should begin from the lotus feet and gradually rise up to the upper limbs of the transcendental body of the Lord. Okay. I think that's just about everything there. Yeah, okay. That's the purport. Kind of simple. Kind of hardest in 1 hour in some ways. Talking about it because very simple, very direct, you know. I say some ways it's to read the purports and understand them, comprehend them, and just go through and maybe cover, you know, 5-6 verses each time like that, groups like that. You know? So here's talking about this meditation. You know, going from the feet upwards like that. And something else here. Oh, yeah. So when I was reading this, I remember, I don't know where it was, but it's in the first, my recollection is like in the first two cantos or so like that. And it says that one should meditate on the whole body of the Lord, not forgetting that it is composed of limbs. Yeah. Another one says, one should meditate upon the limbs of the Lord, not forgetting that they form the part of a whole. So there's the trick, you know, how to focus upon achinta beda beda tattva. You know? This is a wonderful, wonderful, you know, basis in reality. It's such a fundamental principle. You know, I mentioned before that, you know, the Bible, there's also discussions of this within the Catholic Church. Of course, the Christian Church was coming out of a you know, sophisticated philosophical tradition from the Greeks and also others who had even been to India. I'm not sure if it was before Christ or after, but one person had been to India and came back to Egypt and was, you know, then presenting what he learned and developed, you know, quite a fair following and over quite a fair amount of space in Egypt or something. So there are philosophers, you know, people, you know, trying to understand these things. You know. It's very natural. Myself and the group, myself and mommy, myself and my brothers and sisters, you know, and myself and the world. Yeah. So it's very natural to try and deal with this thing of our relationship with the world. And there's the monists who say, you know, row, row, row your boat gently down the stream. Merrily, 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 life is but a dream. Okay. But whatever it is. Try to get rid of all individuality. Yeah. And just merge with the urge. Yeah. Become one with it all. Okay. And the other side are the public basically saying that the monists and the dualists, basically. The dualists, and they are described as these distinctions, yeah? But then achinta beta beta tattva. I heard one lady talking about one Swedish philosopher who is saying the same thing, that in the parts there is the whole, and in the whole there is the part. Same concept. And I was reading, it doesn't say that Lord Chaitanya introduced this concept exactly, but he kind of introduced the circumstance. But Chintabhedabhita Tattva existed before. Okay. And so we should start meditating on the with the feet. And of course, what does this remind you of? Queen Kunti! Yes, Queen Kunti. So we can all chant together here. Kunti Uvacha Namashye Purusham Twadyam Ishvaram Prakriteh Param Alaksham Sarvabhutanam Antar Bahir Avashtitam Maya Javani Kachanam Ajnyaroksha Jamavyayam Nalaksha She Mudhadresha Nato Natya Daro Yata Tata Paramaham Sanam Muninam Mahalatmanam Bhakti Yoga Vidanartam Tam Pashema Histriaha Krishnaya Vasudevaya Devaki Nandanaya Cha Nanda Gopa Kumaraya Govindaya Namo Namaha Nama Pankaja Nabaya Nama Pankaja Maline Nama Pankaja Netraya Namaste Pankajangraje Namaste Purusham Twadyam. Nice prayers. Papa lectured on these, I think, three different places, like in Europe or something, Los Angeles, India. And different places here, he's mentioning them. Okay. So as we remember them, she offers her respectful obeisances, Namashe Purusham Twajam, unto the original person who is the master of material nature. He's not manifest to anybody. He's hidden from all living entities, even though he's within and without. Like Mr. Smith, he may not be manifest to us because he's in his house, okay? Or else we're in the house, he may not be manifest to us because he's outside. But here is this impossibility that he's both within and without, and still he's not manifested. Maya Javani Kachanam. He's covered by the curtain of Maya. And therefore he cannot be known, even though he is unlimited. He's not perceivable to the vision of the donkeys, the asses. Just like a actor dressed in a costume is not perceivable by the audience. Tata Paramahamsanam. The great Paramahamsas, the purified munis, the munis who have become purified by their great austerity in their work of controlling their speculation, they can understand you, Bhakti Yoga Vidanartam. But what to speak of us ladies, Katampa Shema Histriaha, how can we understand you? Well, the next verse she gives her answer. Krishnaya Vasudevaya. So here's, of course, a very nice example of the suffix unto. Krishnaya, Krishna, Krishnena, Krishnasya, Krishnaha. To Krishna, with Krishna, from Krishna, at Krishna, by Krishna. So Krishnaya, to Krishna, to Vasudev, to the darling of Devaki, to the cute little cowherd boy of Nanda Maharaj, to Govinda, I offer my obeisances. Okay. So there it is. She can meditate on him as her nephew, as the most darling little, charming little rascal cowherd boy who's just designed to steal the hearts of women. Okay. And then finally, the verse for today. Today we're worried about here. Nama Pankaja Nabaya. She's offering her obeisances unto the Lord whose navel is like a lotus. Nama Pankaja Maline, whose mala is like a lotus, is a garland full of lotus flowers. His garland is full of lotus flowers. Nama Pankaja Netraya, and Aravinda Netra, whose eyes are like lotus flowers. Namaste Pankajangaraye, and also to the feet, whose feet are like lotuses. Because we all know why she doesn't start with meditating on the feet, don't we? No, some of us don't. Okay, all right. Don't talk to yourself. Okay, I won't. Yeah. Because she's his aunt, she's and quite mature, you know. So it says that if she started meditating on the lotus feet of her nephew, you know, then Krishna would feel embarrassed that his aunt is like, you know, coming and approaching his lotus feet, whereas he should be approaching her lotus feet. But Prabhupada said everything is there in the proper order in the round, you know, in the round like that. You know. So Kunti takes advantage of the same thing. You know. We can do the same thing. I don't come into the temple because I'm such a criminal. I feel embarrassed or, you know, afraid. I have to meditate on Krishna's face directly many times. So the natural thing is not even to start meditating on his lotus feet, but to start meditating on the temple room or something, you know, the acharya. And then gradually approach like that and become accustomed and, you know, purify our consciousness, our service attitude. Are we qualified to render service to Krishna's feet? You know, or are we qualified just to clean the temple, pick up the dust, pick up the dirt, carry out the trash, you know, and become purified? And then Prabhupada says going up into meditation like that. You know, it's interesting. Higher limbs, a smiling face. You know, and then kind of as an afterthought to decorate that, then the forehead and the crown. And then we have a meditation there, you know, dynamic. Okay. So then this point about Achinta Beda Beda Tattva, I was like hearing Prabhupada quote this verse, Bhagavad Gita 9:4, Maya Tatam Idam Sarvam Jagat Abhyakta Murtina Matstani Sarvabhutani Nachaham Teshvavastitaha. There's another one too, right in here, almost the same, which I remember and don't remember at different times. Okay. It says the same thing almost. By me in my unmanifested form, this entire universe is pervaded. All beings are in me, but I am not in them. Yeah. So, Then I realized this is a Chinta Beda Beda Tattva. Krishna's made a very, very intelligent statement here. And if I click on this little button here, it should take us right to my online, in-computer copy of the program. Bhaktivedanta Vedabase, Bhagavad Gita as it is. Okay. And in the purport then, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is not perceivable. Maybe I can bring the side in here a little bit. That's a little too small. Gotta make it a little bigger. Okay. Okay, go over here. There we go. Got it. Gotcha. Now hit Control. Let's try this. Control plus. Yeah, it does it. Okay. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is not perceivable through the gross material senses. It is said, close your eyes now. Ata Shri Krishna Namari Mahabhadya Grayamindri Seva Mukhi Jivado Swayamevam Puraspuratiyada. Yeah, whenever we see these verses, just try and see if you remember it, refresh your memory, and then maybe even go and make the verses quoted in the Bhagavatam, the Bhagavad Gita class for that night. In this way, we review the verses and use them and refresh them as the acharyas use them. And if they use them more, we get more familiar with them. So Prabhupada's books become a national study guide for the for other books. This is Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. 1, 2, 2, 3, 4. They're easy to remember. Eastern part, the second wave, which is general bhakti, sadhana bhakti, and then 2, 3, 4. Sounds like it's near the end. Yeah. The Lord's name, fame. He's the best tennis player. He's a better boxer than Bruce Lee. He's richer than Bill Gates. His pastimes. He's running off with the clothes of the gopis. My God, it's a scandal, etc. Cannot be understood by material senses. Now, only to one who is engaged in pure devotional service. You got to mute your microphone there. Yeah, okay. Okay. Only to one who is engaged in pure devotional service under proper guidance is he revealed. Yeah. I remember one time I was sitting at my little desk in the treasury office in the temple in Berkeley, San Francisco, and I read this or heard this. I think I heard it, a tape or something. And Prabhupada was saying there are three kinds of pure devotees, first, second, and third class pure devotees. And he said, but actually the third class pure devotee is not a pure devotee. So second class pure devotee, Madhya Madhakari, he's pure by using his intelligence, yeah, using his intelligence to keep from becoming dirty, contaminated. And the I always remember Madan. Madan said, made this point about how, you know, we see some kind of tamasic form, you know, some advertising thing, you know, a beautiful, beautiful woman. I remember this in South America. It's really, there's like some propaganda program, you know, by some plumbing company. There's a really tall, voluptuous looking woman, young girl, woman. And what she was selling was urinals and toilet, porcelain toilet commodes. It was all over the place. It was so ridiculous. You know? The actual toilet commode was like, wasn't that much of the picture, but there she was. So what are we selling? Yeah, okay. So anyway, his point was that the mind has a tendency to like look at it and say, that's Maya. I should reject that. Well, let me focus in a little bit more and get a little clearer here. Yeah, yep, that's Maya. Mm. He says, really, yeah, it's really Maya. Okay, I'm going to reject it now. Okay. So the Buddhists say, a good horse runs, even at the shadow of a whip. So put these together in the Don saying, even as soon as you get the little smell of Maya, you know, get gone, and then there'll be no memories. Yeah. So we used to go from Lima, which is on the coast, up to Chosica, which is where the temple is, and it follows the river right up, you know, up the thing there. And the river keeps on going right up into the Andes. And on the way, about maybe one third of the way up, was one of these very, very tall, like, you know, maybe like 20, maybe 30 foot tall women. And she was selling, I think she was selling Inca Cola, like that, and so on. So we used to go up there, and I could see exactly what, yeah, I was always remembering Madan. You know, remember that my mind wanted to, like, look at this and contemplate it. It was pleasant, it was, you know, gratifying. But every time it came up, I refused to look. Myself, don't look on me. Of course, then your mind is trying to catch a glimpse out of the corner of the eye or something like that, and make it form it. And I would try and keep my mind from forming it and everything else like that and so on. Yeah. So the first time I saw what it was it. Yeah. So this is it. You know, you have to be. What is it? Where is it going? Is it there somewhere here? Only to one who is engaged in pure devotional service. Maybe here it's talking about, you know, different ways it says this. Somebody who is engaged in devotional service and even has come to the level of bhava, but hasn't become free from the material impasse yet. Nectar of Devotion talks about that. Under proper guidance. And even in the liberated state, you know, one can engage in, of course, the two verses from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, which illuminate Raganuga Bhakti, that one should reside in Braja, and engage in devotional service under the guidance of an expert devotee. I take shelter of Sudam, Sridam, Subal Ram, or Tungavidya, Sudevi, Rangadevi, Induleka, Chitra, Champakalata, Lalita, or Tungavidya. I was reading Prabhupada said the eight gopis represent different kinds of pleasure in conjugal relationship. And they can take shelter of these or shelter. But then we, under proper guidance for devotee, then the transcendental character of the name, fame, and pastimes of the Lord becomes revealed. Wow. In the Brahma Samhita 538, it is stated, Prebanjana charita bhakti vilochanaina santa sadaiva hridayeshu vilokayanti. One can see the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Govinda, always within himself and outside himself if one has developed the transcendental loving attitude towards him. Thus, for people in general, he is not visible. Here it is said that although he is all-pervading everywhere, yeah, he is not conceivable by the material senses. This is indicated here by the word avyakta murtina. But actually, although we cannot see him, everything is resting on him. As we have discussed in the seventh chapter, entire material cosmic manifestation is only a combination of his two different energies, superior spiritual energy and inferior material energy. Just as the sunshine is spread all over the universe, the energy of the Lord is spread all over the creation, and everything is resting on the energy. So even though we're meditating on the hand of the Lord, the foot of the Lord, the ankle of the Lord, we should, and we can. It's natural to see it in perspective like that. That this is Krishna's hand, this is Krishna's smile, this is Krishna's ankle. But same time too, you know, see specifically his hands. His hands are very beautiful, very soft, you know, and maybe decorated, yeah, and also very competent to deal with things. Yeah, one should not conclude that because he is spread all over, he has lost his personal existence. To refute such an argument, the Lord says, I am everywhere and everything is in me, but still I am aloof. For example, a king has a government which is but the manifestation of the king's energy. The different governmental departments are nothing but the energies of the king, and each department is resting on the king's power. But still, one cannot expect the king to be present in every department personally. This is a crude example. Similarly, all the manifestations that we see in everything that exists, both in this material world and in the spiritual world, are resting on the energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The creation takes place by the diffusion of his different energies, as stated in the Bhagavad Gita. Vishtabhyaham idam kritsnam. He is everywhere by his personal representation. The diffusion of his different energies. Yeah. And so different energies include like potencies for creation, but also potencies for knowing. So his knowledge potency is also everywhere. So we give the example, you pull one hair on somebody's body with a pair of tweezers, and the person reacts. What are you doing? Stop that. Yeah. So simultaneously, you pull one piece of grass, and Krishna knows what's happening. So whenever we're touching anything, we're actually, you know, touching the body of Krishna, massaging the body of Krishna, and we feel it, and he feels it. If death comes, then devotee can probably say, you just go on with your service. If death comes, and maybe it'll take you, maybe it won't. We always have a service. And of course, if we're familiar with the different energies of Krishna, that doesn't mean that a devotee knows how many windows there are in the opposite, you know, apartment building, 40-story office building, but he knows all the categories, which, you know, Kritir, Shaktir, Ishate, basically three, you know, three categories of energies like that. Okay? So by knowing that, it doesn't matter if we go to this part of the material nature or that part of the material nature, we can go on with our service and actually thinking, oh, even better, it's only improving. Death is actually quite wonderful, quite an opportunity. Yeah. Okay, so it's kind of what I'm supposed to do here now. I think I push this button here. Yeah, it goes away. I think I push this one. And we finish. Thank you all very much. So that's kind of our presentation on this verse. Anybody else has any comments, questions, complaints about this or whatever, please make them. Speak now or forever hold your peace.
Well, one reaction I had to the purport, I'm just repeating something that Prabhupada wrote, and that is that he defines the Muni as less intelligent, which is sort of counterintuitive. One thinks of a Muni as very, very intelligent, but Prabhupada calls him less intelligent.
Yeah. They're focused on... They're people who are proud of being able to manipulate their minds. They're clever, but not wise. That's what I would think of being, Clever, but not wise. Yeah. They're good at quick arguments and stuff. What's the word? Marshall McLuhan said an expert is somebody who never makes the smallest mistake as he proceeds towards the grand illusion. Everything preferably arrived at the wrong destination. So they're not focused on the intellect. They're focused on, they don't come to Mangala Arati, but they get up in time. They go into the Sringar Arati on time and then take charge of their service.
A little comment I would make in that regard is that, Prabhupada is speaking in sort of a negative sense about Muni, but yet other places he speaks very highly of Muni. So we just have to be careful not to quote things of Prabhupada out of context and have a real global understanding. That's why it's important we read all of Prabhupada's books and have a deep understanding that what he says in one place may apply quite differently in another. Because sometimes my reaction is exactly the same as Jai Jagadish Prabhu. Muni, I thought Munis are great. In fact, we have a cat here.
Yeah.
He's a cat. No, he's Gato Muni. He's a kitty, but he is, whenever there's a kirtan, he comes to kirtan. He never fights with other cats. He's just a sweet and loves to sit right by the deities when Artik is going on or when the curtains are open. We call him Gato Muni. Generally, the use of Muni is very positive.
Narda Muni.
Yeah.
You can't get much more than that.
Yeah.
Speak to dear Muni. It's like Prabhupada always talks about the rascal scientist, And he says that we're not criticizing everything they're doing or the sincere people, working in these areas. He said they've done wonderful things to humanity and so on. Yeah. But we're criticizing it when they try and take this as all in all. And somebody becomes very proud of being a Muni and defeating other people. Yes, the Muni. And also just for the yogi. I'm trying to convince the yogi that his meditation, the Krishna is never impersonal. I had one friend. Actually, we were in college together and stuff. And we kind of separated. Then I met him, in contact with him a little bit later and stuff. Actually, he came to Arathiyatra because he was realizing that I'd been interested in Krishna consciousness. And with his girlfriend, wife. Yeah. They showed up and we talked, And he actually had risen up pretty high in, what's the name of the thing now? It's just a kind of meditation. Oh, what's the word? What it is. But the whole thing is to sit down and, give up your control of your senses, give up control of your mind, and let your mind, let all the garbage come out of your mind. And you sit down for this long time and do nothing until all the garbage comes out of the mind. Like that. Vipassana. Yeah, Vipassana yoga. Vipassana yoga. And specifically, and he was feeling that he'd come to the point, I'm not sure if he actually came to the point where there was no more trash in the mind, but a lot of stuff definitely could settle down and so on. Yeah. we're trying to we're doing a lot of work now. Of course, this whole books are the basis. You know, books are the basis. And I quote this group many times as a very nice example of, you know, a small temple can have a very, very nice, healthy Bhagavatam program. And what we're trying to promote is that temples should be primarily organized on the hearing and chanting. And then, if that's proper, then Mandira Marginado, Shingaratan Mandira Marginado, automatically follows. If you're hearing properly, then very naturally people keep it in and worship it. But if we're the deity should first and lack the hearing and chant, then it becomes like some superficial thing which you may do or may not do. And so many times that misconception is there. So we'll take off on February 14th, Atlanta week, a couple of days, and we go to Richmond. We're down in Houston for Purnima, sitting down for 3 months. Then we go to South America all the way until the beginning of May. But part of that, we'll spend 1 week with the GBC College, set up in ISKCON, our ISKCON, to try and give some education to, and that's kind of a point where I'm trying to work out, because it seems like not quite clear who the education is for. It's almost for leaders. Of course, that's a very general term. But pragmatically, right now, they're actually zonal supervisors. The zonals, you know, the regional secretary. The term regional secretary is being phased out. So there's a GBC body, GBC secretaries, and zonal supervisors. And that's to try and deal with our 1 million-person organization now. You know? So what does the education include? And it's a lot of things, you know. Try to define these things, put them in perspective. You know? Because then one can be and try to administer money, you know, political relationships, vanity, pride, which is based upon desire to satisfy the opposite sex and become respected and distinguished by the opposite sex. And management. Yeah. And they forget that the ultimate goal of all this is prema. You know? Yeah. God. One time Guru Kripa, he said one time, Prabhupada, your entire day, if you did work very, very hard and didn't remember Krishna, your day was a waste of time. Even, you know, doing service. But if you didn't remember Krishna one time, you know, no matter how much you did, then your whole day was worthwhile. You know? So that's the thing. We're caught in these in environments and so on. So here, this thing of, you know, very nice contemplation, but to remember that Krishna is a person like that. Let me show you a few minutes more. We've been just somehow or other we're attracted to PowerPoint shows. It's our particular nature. So what we did here, let's see what we got here. We've been almost been doing one a day, maybe like 3 or 4 a week or something recently. And it's nice rhythm. This is nice to get something, you know, some collections. So actually these are available. Let me see here. This is Alt-F-C. Save the changes. Alt-F-R, recent. And here's the one we just did. Okay. World Classical Literature. Okay. For Sankirtan. On the right, you see some kind of a Buddhist guy or some maybe Taoist or something there. Okay, what he is, but he got his books. Yeah, got his literature. Was revised today. And our webpage is www.jayarama.us. I got that because Prabhupada said when Hanuman was going to help out, he didn't think, what should I a GPS device? He just said, Jai Ram, and jumped. There it is. Any situation, what to do, just say Jai Ram and jump. Yeah. Okay. If you go there, it's pretty simple. It's a real sannyasi webpage. We collected and maintained it using Microsoft Word. You can actually, you know, maintain a webpage with Microsoft Word. Yeah. And you just server keeps your files for you. So whenever your browser, this is a kind of sophisticated program, whenever your address on the World Wide Web, there is an autoresponder there. And wherever anything comes to it, it automatically sends back whatever file is located there. And the first file that the browser looks for is a file called index.htm, hypertext transfer markup language. Yeah. It took me so long to find that out. And it's a simple thing. Once I found that out from somebody, okay. So you just have to make a Microsoft Word file and save it with the name index.htm. And when any browser goes to that address, it'll open that file. And because it's a web page file, you can put in links and everything else like that. And it's very simple. Yeah. So our first link is archives, and we put stuff there. And we have one folder called trash, and you'll find this there and a lot of other stuff. We're trying to become purified by PowerPoint shows. So world classical literature. Okay. This Prabhupada. Database.com. It's interesting to see which books those are. You probably can recognize all the books in the picture here. It looks like it goes to the third canto. Very interesting. Here's three books. If you gotta pack your bags and you're on an island working for the 3 months where you just can have basically almost carry-on luggage to take with you, these are almost the three books I would take. Vrishna, maybe even Volume 2, shows I'm not ready for Galopi yet. Teachings of Lord Chaitanya. Nice collection of books. Bhaktisut Damodar Das, when Maharaj was a brahmachari. Srila Prabhupada, Laboratory for Preaching to the Scientist. So Prabhupada, if the funds are available, then you might do it. But really, it is not necessary. I already have so much knowledge. Just sharpen your intelligence on Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavad, and then engage in a better way. Okay, then they will ask you where you got such ideas. Actually, it wasn't engage things in a better way. Then explain things in a better way. But it's the same thing as engaging them. It's a very, very nice preaching formula. We take their resource. We haven't got to invent everything ourselves. They already have so many resources. And they're Krishna. So we get them, you know. And then we use them. The result is that people then become inspired to ask us. It's one very nice teaching strategy is to use the resources in such a way, dressing, clothing, doll making, everything in such a way people become amazed. They become, why did you do that? Well, how did you do that? What did you have for lunch? If you go on the airplane, flying here and there across the international flight, and they have these vegetarian meal. They call it vegan, whatever, And so it's not there. I was calling up the airline and saying, I want to pick a special meal. It's not there, but I think that it's available if you just try and put the code in for me. And they say, well, what's the code? You know, FTML. And then the lady said, oh, it worked. It's taking it. What is that? I said, it's a fruit plate meal. Yeah. It's a secret mantra. Yeah. So I was sitting on the airplane, and then passing out, everybody has your choice of pig or chicken. Or chicken. So they brought my plate, but it was really so beautiful, like different colors, little trays like that. So I was some big black stuff to me. He looked at that, and he said, I want that one. And the stewardess kind of looked a little, the word like she said, well, I'm sorry, you got to order it before like that and so on. Yeah. So yeah, just do things in a better way, then people will become interested. And there's your opening then to start talking to them. So very, very nice preaching strategy. Let's apply it then, not in terms of world classical literature. And these are our books. First one we have is Quixote, noble Sir Quixote of La Mancha, okay, is a Spanish novel by Miguel Cervantes Saavedra, published in 1605 and 1615. It is considered the most influential work in the entire Spanish literary canon, a founding work of modern Western literature, and one of the earliest canonical novels. The Boklubin World Library Collection cites Don Quixote as the author's choice for the best literary work ever written. It's like that. It always shows up. You know? And, of course, maybe you even heard about it. Don Quixote is this guy who goes mad from reading science fiction books, detective stories, stories about knights and being wizards and stuff. So decides to revive it after it's actually passed. He takes off and has his servant Sancho Panza. Panza means tummy, like that. So, going with him, and of course, right away you can see this. Automatically, you have a dialogue going on here. One guy, life totally ectomorphic. The other guy is looking at life totally, I guess, is endomorphic or something like that. So it's big. They go all over the place. I mean, they talk about things, about what is truth, what is honesty, what is beauty, what is righteousness, even God. You know, it's very difficult to translate because from the title page itself, there's so many subtle jokes, you know, and it deals with so many wonderful things like that, you know. So it is wonderful if you're a devotee, even inspiring. So you go to Amazon.com, and it's Wikipedia has a nice. But the a recent translation by Edith Grossman is considered to be the most transparent and the most sophisticated that's ever been done. Even in like the kind of screwy translations, I was reading part of it at one point. It was gut splitting. I was laughing what was happening with Sancho Panza and stuff. It's just, you know, such. This interesting thing is he died on the day as same year and even the same day as Shakespeare. Interesting. The master's thesis, and it was 20, but William Shakespeare were the same person. I think this is crazy, you know. But he did like his computer analysis of metaphor styles and everything else, and came back as way ahead of random possibilities. So I would say maybe they were inspired by the same Gandharva to produce this incredible literature. I think even some phrases the Prabhupada uses from him. So anyway, go through it. If this is your particular tendency, go through and show people how explain these things in a better way. They say, well, where'd you get that? Oh, had a perspective from the classical Indian literature. Oh, really? What are those? Okay. Another one here is...
Maharaj?
Journey. Yeah, uh-huh.
I am so sorry, but...
you have to go now.
Yeah, we have to actually stop the class now. I'm so sorry.
Okay, I'll do it real quick. Journey to the West is the next one. Next one is our Prabhupada's books, and finish off with... Imitation of Christ, Hamlet, Media as a Message, and so on. So you can join us on Twitter or look in our trash file in our archives. You can find these things. Thank you very much. I hope your interview with the dentist is a totally satisfying experience. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Maharaj.
Curvy here.
Hey, Ball, anyone there?
No, he's done with me. I'm going to end it.
Haribo.
Ramanda, you want me to end?
Yeah, we have to end and we have to start.
I'm trying to find a way to end.
Ramananda, can you hear me?
Stop meeting.
Okay, where is it? I can't find.
It's right on
I can hear you.
On the web control?
Here you, Pushkarji. Nahari here.
Yes.